Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/AAA. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by WordPress. Your customers want to find you. Build a WordPress.com website and help them connect with your business. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to All About Android. This is episode number 331, recorded on Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello, team. There is Hello. But three of us plus one. We have a plus one today. We're bringing a plus one to the ball. Or as it were, the statue unveiling, which we'll talk about in a second because that was hilarious. We're stoked to welcome back Chris Lacey, developer of many things, notably Action Launcher, of course, which you probably already used, as well as a podcaster, host of the Blurg podcast. How's it going, Chris?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. It's been far too long. I don't exactly know why. I guess life is crazy, but you've been plugging along on Action Launcher. You guys, just pushed out another update. Is it version 27 on Action Launcher?
Yeah, it really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Version 27. I switched to this sort of Chrome naming scheme of just bumping the number each time. The latest update went out on Saturday my time, so Friday in the States, and it's gone well. Added a weather widget and added some enhancements around app shortcuts, and really I'm trying to bring Action Launcher to the point where it brings basically all of the Pixel Launcher and Android O features to whatever phone you're using. Been busy working away at that.
How has that kind of process been? I'm sure with every version, I imagine, at least from a developer standpoint, a new version of Android is released. You probably have to go in and kind of play around with that version a little bit, check out the kind of the new look and feel of the design aesthetic, make your notes on features that you could potentially roll over. How complicated is that?
It depends on the Android release. Android O in particular was probably the biggest launcher related release ever. There was just so much in there as far as notification dots, the new look for app shortcuts, and all of that code you Google essentially give it for free. They release it with the AOSP source drop, but you have to wait for that. I sort of made the decision to invest the resources to try and bring it to people early and that sort of stuff. So it's been a lot of work. Android 7.1 was as well, but before that, not necessarily too much.
Right on. There are a lot of people following your work and really appreciate that. People that, because as we know, right, like new versions of Android happen, and it's still a very long time before anyone ever gets any sort of access to that. So any way that there's a possibility of bridging the gap is going to make a lot of people happy. And that's obviously a big strength around the work that you do with Action Launcher. So
Yep, that's the goal.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, empower people so that they don't feel like they're left in the dust. I mean, it could be 1 to 2 years, literally, before if they see anything at all.
That's really sad.
It's sad. It's a depressing really state sad. Of affairs.
And every and time around, every time we around, we hear that it's not going to be like that this time. It's going to be faster this time. But
yeah.
I don't think, yeah, I don't, there's no proof of that. So
yeah, yeah.
Well, I do think with Android O and the Treble initiative, that really does make me feel like things could improve. I'm not sure if any of you folks listened to it, but there was a great episode on the Android Developers Backstage podcast where the Android team spoke a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the Treble initiative. And I think one of the biggest takeaways that I had at a high level was that for devices that ship targeting O, so this isn't devices that may or may not get upgraded to O, but new devices that target O or later, as part of their approval process, Google basically a stock AOSP ROM needs to run on their device. So you could essentially think of that as, remember there was that 3 month window or wherever it was a few years back where like the Galaxy S4 and a HTC phone and that sort of stuff, I think Google was selling Play editions of those.
Yeah. Very short period of time for those.
Yeah, so but basically it means each device will be capable of that. Now obviously there's a very big difference between, you know, flicking a switch and allowing you to use your Galaxy S8 running stock Android. Whether that happens is not the point, but the point is that it really should be a lot easier for device manufacturers to get their devices onto the latest Android, onto the latest version of Android. And I that only really became clear to me listening to that podcast yesterday. Now, there's still obstacles in the way. Certainly, I think far and away the biggest one is, are carriers going to bother going through the expensive approval process? I don't think Treble does necessarily much to directly address or solve that, but certainly Treble really does feel like an initiative where Google are really making a very strong effort to improve the update process.
Well, yeah, and they've said as much as far as the complication, like just how complicated the process was doing this. They had to rebuild a lot of the base. In fact, Dave Burke, we talked to Dave Burke on, you know, from Google I.O. a few months ago, and that was what he said. He said Project Treble was all about the base, and you know, he made the joke, but that was really kind of his point, is that it's really taking a look at the base of Android, rebuilding it so that these things are a little bit easier. Maybe this is just the beginning of a process to moving towards a version of Android that does separate things so much that the update conundrum that we find ourselves in year after year is addressed in a meaningful way and actually moves some numbers in a positive direction. We can hope.
Yeah,
anyways.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes, but I'm certainly hopeful that Treble will have a strong impact there.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of the more significant pieces of Android O, which, by the way, we have the name, the official release. Yeah, I'll leave you in anticipation. You probably already know, but we'll wait until we get there. Also, we're going to be talking about making calls with Google Home. Ron, you spent a little bit of time with the Essential phone. I am super curious to hear what you thought about that. The Nokia 8, which is basically like HMD's premium Nokia Android device. The Asus Zenfone 4 in all of its 6 variants. Tons of feedback. So we keep getting great feedback from you guys and a whole lot more. But that means that right now it's time for the news.
It's time to twist apart the headlines and get to the filling of Android news.
Yes, Victor, you have embraced the Android news bumper. I see much success in the world of Victor. We should
all... Does this mean that we get to untwist what Android's name is?
We do.
Officially?
Oh, we do.
Look at that.
really quick, though, before we dive in there, I just want to say...
Before we dunk it in the milk.
Before we dunk it into the milk, I just really want to... Unrelated to that, Brian Burnett has been a staple on this show for quite a few years now. He's been our technical director for many years. He's no longer here at Twit. We just want to... I just want to wish him the very best. Totally going to miss him and his insight and input onto this show and his news bumper, and wish him the very best in all of his endeavors. But Victor, it's great to have you on board as well.
He leaves some very large shoes to fill, Victor. So
yeah, I know. Nobody misses him more than I do right now. I'm a nervous wreck back here right now.
You're doing good, man. You're doing good.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Trial by fire. Just as Brian learned, you will not learn.
That's right. Exactly that. Exactly that. Anyways, Brian, we miss you. Victor, we're happy to have you. It's great to have you. All right, Flo, you got the top story.
Are we going to miss Nugget when it's eventually out? Man, there's a lot. You glasses wearers have to deal with a lot. This is too much. I'm so sorry.
well, we could read all the text on your screen.
Glasses? You're literally wore fake glasses and then had to deal with the glare from your light on camera of your fake glasses?
I was trying to do a persona today. I don't know. Listen, I've been home for the last 3 days with back pain, so just trying to spruce up my life. Anyway, while I've been at home... suffering from back pain because I'm old. I'm not that old. Android's name finally got released, and we know what it spells. It spells O-R-E-O. That's Oreo.
Yeah. So is this the time that we admit that we were all wrong and we dismissed this as an option too quickly?
Well, I think we have to. Like, obviously.
We went on record last week with our predictions. I believe it was me who said, there's no way it'll be Oreo.
No. I mean, well, okay, so let's think backwards a little bit. When was the last time that Google trolled with a dessert well in advance and it ended up actually being that? I don't know if that's ever happened. Maybe that's why it happened this time, because you don't expect it to happen.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
It's true, like, and nobody expects
you, seven nerds Android in the audience just laugh.
Superheroes. Let's talk about the mascot.
What's the deal with the superhero motif?
I am trying to find that out myself. So what we do know about the mascot is actually the only thing we know is from Advertising Age. They wrote this little ditty on what Oreo and Google plans to do for the marketing message behind Oreo. So the Oreo mascot is a superwoman. I just want everybody to know she's awesome. Female. But if you continue on in reading in the Ad Age little write-up, you will notice that because she is female, it means that she is, I believe it said, oh my gosh, where is it? Intelligent and playful. Yes. The brands say I guess it's not women. Never mind. I read that wrong.
What's that?
Hang on, Flo. Maybe you should put the glasses back on and see what it says then.
No. Okay, so I actually wrote about this earlier today, and I realized that I completely read this paragraph wrong. So we're going to do this on live TV. It's happening. Basically, the paragraph says, coming hand in hand with the Android Oreo release is a female superhero, which the brands, that being Android O, that being Android and Oreo, say it is meant to mix the playfulness of Oreo and the intelligence of Android. So that is why it is a female superhero, which is what I understood that paragraph to mean.
Every superhero, by the way, has an origin story. This is what the Android account on Google Plus said. Android Oreo makes your device smarter, makes it faster, safer, and more powerful. Superhero.
Oh, so that explains the superhero. By the way, I would like to give a little shout out to Jason and the rest of you at Twit for updating the lower third with the Oreo graphic so quickly.
Very quickly.
Big That's thanks awesome. To Josh here for
thank you, Josh.
Putting that together that was awesome. This morning, because it looks good. Great.
But here's the $10,000 question.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we have a bumper?
I don't know. Do we have any breaking news? Do we have any breaking news? I don't know. We might have some breaking news. Sure. If you've got it, we might as well hit it. Uh-oh. Let's wait for some breaking news. You know what? We can't just breaking rush into this, Ron.
It can happen at any moment, really.
It's
you never
possible
really
that we might have some
happen.
Breaking news later. We'll just give creamy, crunchy chocolate.
Bravo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah? Yeah?
I can get behind that.
Okay.
Love it. Love it. Let's just see it one more time. Let's see it one more time.
Nope. Nope. It's fun to munch a creamy, crunchy chocolate. O-R-E-O. Yeah.
Now listen, that will not cause any copyright claims on YouTube.
Nah, we'll see. Hey, it hasn't happened yet, but you never know. Chris, I'm curious to hear your take on this. Did you have any dessert hunches before Oreo came along?
I certainly thought it would be Oreo, but I also thought it would be Nutella last year. I think nougat is an absolutely ridiculous name, and that it's absurd to me that it was ever used. So I'm not a fan of, as a general rule, using, you know, brands for these
hashtag
names.
Hashtag brands.
But at the same time, I would rather do that than end up with another crazy, ridiculous name like nougat. So I'm all for it. And I think it's also interesting that Google for the last three major releases, they seem to abandon the previous history, tradition of playfully adjusting the Android logo. And so for the lollipop and marshmallow and nougat, it was all basically just the same green man.
Standing on top of a brick of nougat, or it was very, very subtle, kind of.
Well, it seemed like they didn't want to mess with the, the iconic droid. They've obviously sort of gone a different direction with the superhero, and I think it looks really neat. So,
Bleak's like, come on, guys, does it matter? It's branding. Sure. Well, yeah, it's branding, but it's also fun. It's also something that Android fans, as you well know, like to obsess over. It's just, hey, it is branding, but it's successful branding. Google built this excitement into people. Like, we actually want to know and care.
That's what I said on Monday when I was at work and I was talking with some coworkers and they were speculating as to what the name would be. And I said, I've been covering, Jason, you and I together have been covering this for how many years, right?
Yeah.
And I said the amount of frenzy that Google has created around the dumb name of the operating system that has no effect on the functionality, the accessibility, the features, none of it. It's just a dumb branding thing. But for some reason, how many articles on Google are about what is O going to be called? What is N going to be called? The speculation, like they really tapped into something with this. And now it's a bed that they have to live in. We're going to go through this every version now. For good or for bad. So.
So I have to say, I was talking to my friend about this today. I was just texting her about the Oreo statue in Mountain View and just sort of kidding around with her that we should go visit it. She didn't know that there was the Android was named after desserts. And so, like, we know about all this excitement and we're given all this excitement, but, like, how is it reeling in new people?
It's not.
Then who is it for? Is it just for us? Is it just fan service?
It's literally for the nerds. It's for, oh my God, are you surprised? Look around. Every two-thirds of the movies being played in movies right now are fan service. Half the TV shows are fan service. Right?
That's like, true.
We live in a culture of fan service. And so I'm not surprised by this at all being something of that level.
Okay, so fan service. Are we going to go out and try and find the Oreos with the Android emblazoned on them? Because I told you, Jason, the Oreos were going to be green, and people were posting green Oreos from the Google events.
Yeah, they were the green-filled Oreos, but instead of the normal Oreo logo on the front, well, instead of... I got Oreos, by the way.
I knew you would. And I'm so...
And then try and do the entire show with Oreos just in your mouth.
Can I tell you how upset I am? Because I said 2 days ago, I've got to go pick up some Oreos for the show. And I went to the supermarket before the show tonight and I forgot to pick them up. And you got double stuffs?
Well,
I know, right?
Well, we have we have normal and double stuffs.
You have to do Batman insignia.
What?
You know how to do the Batman insignia on the Oreo?
No.
You put your two front teeth, you kind of slide it and get a little bit of frosting on the top, and then you put your two front teeth on the bottom and slide it, get a little bit of frosting, and then it creates a little like Batman insignia inside the Oreo.
Okay.
I learned it in like third grade.
I did not know this. I'm going to wait for you to come in next week because the truth is there are tons of different flavors of Oreos. So we've
they've really exploded with the flavor offering here.
And I'm not sure that all the flavors are that good, but we have enough to fuel us for at least a couple of months as far as if every episode we bring in a new flavor of Oreo, we can continue the celebration and you, Flo, can show me what you're talking about. Because I'm not going to try it right now.
As soon as I find some Android Oreos or Android Oreo Oreos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what I was confused about. Okay, so check this out. In settings, we all. So as far as updates are concerned, right? Updates began to hit Pixel and Nexus devices enrolled in the beta program yesterday. I got that update, but I didn't think that it was actually Oreo because when I went into About Phone.
Oh, yes.
And when I went into Android version.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It pulls up this thing. Here's your little Easter egg. And I tap it a bunch of times. And then I hold and get the little click. You don't get an Oreo. You get an octopus.
It's still pretty creepy.
And so I was like, well, wait a minute. Maybe this is still like a test build or something. Why would it be an octopus? But I think this is just kind of.
But didn't I see you guys talking to Liam about this last night? He said the octopus was there to stay.
Yeah, that's what Liam said on publicly on Twitter. So I think that apparently octopus is the Easter egg. I don't know if that'll change.
Don't they name things after fish? Wait, which thing's the name after fish?
Oh, there is something named after fish. What was that?
After fish.
They name
what? That's what it is.
The pixels.
The phones.
Okay, that's right.
This wasn't the octopus, right?
It was Marlin or something like that, wasn't it? Or something weird?
Yeah, Marlin and Sailfish and whatever else.
Yeah. I was trying to think if that was hearkening back to the whole sea creatures thing and they went with octopus because why would you name a phone after an octopus? It's strange.
I don't know. That was one of the ways they were trolling. Remember, actually, we didn't talk about this on the show because it happened afterwards, but they last week posted the video for the event yesterday that Flo and I covered. It's a Twit Live special, by the way, if you want spend a half hour of your life watching two people watch a statue be unveiled. and they posted it to Google Plus with a promotional video. Sleuths, as in the internet is, you know, always operates, took a look at the file name, and the file name said Oreo something something. And Google recognized that, took down the post, replaced it with a new video that said octopus something something. Took down that post, replaced it with something with a video that said oatmeal cookie something something. So they were probably like kind of trying to cover their tracks that they accidentally actually did release the video with the file name they should not have.
Or they're keeping us guessing, and they're purposely trolling,
which Google are wont to do.
Yep.
So all right, so it's Oreo. There you go. We've got a bumper. We've got a lower third logo thing.
And we got a name.
We got a name. So. Now the speculation.
And we have a sassy superhero mascot.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where this goes. Sure.
So I'm gonna look into more of her backstory, but also. If you guys saw the statue as they placed it at the Google HQ in Mountain View, it's actually got Oreo stools around it. So you can kind of like, you could sit around it if you wanted to.
I want to work in that department, by the way. Can I work in the Android statue department, Google? Like I could bring a lot to the scenes
like
of these statues, I feel like. Yeah, exactly.
Ideas on how this gets made.
What's that, Chris?
I know I've seen videos in the past of how the statues get made. I think they go to some guy in Brooklyn or something like that who makes them. I haven't seen one for the Oreo statue, but I have in the past.
Yeah, I'm sure they outsource it to a certain degree. You know, I'm pretty positive it's not a full-time Google staffer whose only job is to spend the entire year preparing for the statue. Although, heck, you never know. You never know. With Google's money, you never know.
You never know.
All right. The reality is you're probably going to be waiting a long time for Oreo, but I don't know. Get yourself a Pixel. Maybe you want to get yourself a Pixel at the fall event, the hardware event that we know is coming sometime down the line, because it always seems to happen sometime around the October-ish time frame. That's the hardware event, the next hardware event that Google's holding. We now are getting some more rumors about that, so those are always fun to talk about. Alongside two Pixel phones, which will undoubtedly launch with Oreo, there's a possibility that there might be a new Chromebook Pixel. Finally, the last one was released in 2015. And there's a possible two-in-one design. There's actually a patent that was surfaced that hints at a keyboard track pack hinged cover sort of thing that might facilitate a tablet mode or possibly pen input. It's kind of unclear on the purpose there. It has a fingerprint sensor in the design, reportedly. So I don't know. We might see a new Chromebook Pixel, which I'm excited for because I have the first generation Pixel Chromebook, and I really
It's still going strong. You're still using it to do the show every Tuesday.
I know, and I really have little to no reason to not use it. It's still perfectly sufficient for what I use it for. You know, also a miniature Google Home, kind of like an Echo Dot sort of Google Home might happen. Possibly headphones with Assistant built in. That's codename Bisto. Is Bisto a fish? I don't know.
Bisto.
Bisto.
I don't know.
It's probably Bisto. It's probably Bisto.
Bisto. Yeah. Bisto. I like that. Yeah. Bisto is a well-known brand of traditional food in United Kingdom.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it's gravy.
It's gravy, yeah. And their logo says, Bisto.
Ah, Bisto. Put it in your ear.
There you go. Bisto.
And you can have Assistant in your ear all the time.
I'm not surprised. The Assistant in the ear I find interesting. I'm not surprised by the Puck design potential because given how successful that is for Amazon. I was actually home this weekend at my sister's and I watched regular TV with actual commercials. And I was blown away by the number of commercials from Amazon and the number of them that were for Echo products and the Dot and say showing it being used in a house and all that sort of stuff. I got to imagine Google wants in on that action.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
People don't like – there's a lot of people who don't know about products besides what they see advertised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just or what they see advertised, I mean, on TV, driving, whatever. I mean, for a lot of us in the world, like, those are still the advertisements that hit us. It's not like those of us who just sort of soak in all this information about what's coming out. So I am surprised as well to see how much of my family and extended family are in the Amazon ecosystem without having talked to me about it.
They didn't just even opted check in. For it. They didn't even check in with you.
They didn't even check in.
Google Home in Australia. I can't remember. I've lost track of where Google Home is. Is it just now in Australia or has it been there for a while?
It came out about 3 weeks ago, something like that.
Oh, okay.
I've had a couple for a while now. So we're fully invested in the home ecosystem in our place. And there's actually quite a heavy retail presence for it as well. There's I've seen a few ads, but I had to go to the shopping center on the weekend, and yeah, a lot of the electronics stores have really got prominent placing for Google Home, which is smart because Amazon, conversely, does not have much presence in Australia at all. Apparently, they'll be ramping up later in the year, but never, ever, ever has an Australian seen an Amazon advertisement on TV. So Google have an opportunity in markets where the Echo doesn't reach it.
Right.
Wait, you guys don't have Amazon down there?
You can go online and they've got Kindle, but. You know, and you can buy stuff off Amazon, but like shipping, it all comes from the States. So shipping takes ages and costs prohibitively.
Oh my gosh. You know, so we're like your AliExpress.
Basically, yeah. So we just tend not to use it. Whereas Amazon's ubiquitous in America, right?
Absolutely. It's crazy.
More than ubiquitous. That's how we're clothed.
Yeah, more than ubiquitous. It's what's 75% of online shopping or whatever is Amazon.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. So then in Australia, if you don't have Amazon, like what would you say the is analogous to that in your region?
If there there are certainly online stores that you can get stuff from, but for me, I tend to just go to there's a big electronics chain called JB Hi-Fi. That's where I tend to go and get a bunch of stuff. But Amazon, by all accounts, are coming later this year. I think they've got a warehouse in Melbourne or something like that. They're really pushing up. And I wouldn't necessarily want to be a retailer in Australia.
No, you don't want to be in any industry that Amazon's intruding on because they're just a machine right now. You know, it's not just technology, it's everything. That's the thing. They literally sell everything. And the more people get used to buying from them, the less they buy from anything else because everything they need is through Amazon. It's kind of scary.
Unless you learn how to use coupons.
What's that?
Unless you learn how to use coupons.
Oh, well, okay. There's that. But, you know.
I've learned how to use coupons and really get a deal.
Oh my, Flo, you need to get an office job again.
I know.
Wow. This has been 0 to 60 in like no time at all. You've gone completely house crazy.
I've become a coupon clipper. I save all the coupons from the grocery store. I only shop from Kinja deals. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Well, the Kinja deals does have a lot of good deals. Anyways, Ron, go.
Well, if you continue to be trapped at home, Flo, you can. It's good to know that you can call for help because now you can make phone calls in the U.S. and Canada with your Google Home to continue the Google Home news. And by the way, here's the news from Circuit Breaker where they're explaining that all you got to do is say, "Okay, G, call," and then the contact name or the business name that you want to call, and then you use the watchword to say, "Okay, G, disconnect or hang up." And you can query the assistant mid-call, and it will place the caller on hold while you ask it a question. And callers will see your caller ID if you use Google Voice or Project Fi. So it's not tied to your actual cell phone number unless you're using Google Voice or Project Fi. If you're not using Google Voice or Project Fi, it will be unknown caller. So it won't show your actual phone number.
So nobody will pick up my phone call.
Yeah,
exactly. And it does support multiple accounts. So you can say – and this is where – by the way, my favorite bit of copy and the second link, Victor, in there, if you do that, is the actual blog post from Google about this where they introduced it on the keyword, which is the Google Assistant blog. And it has my favorite bit of copy I've ever read in any sort of product announcement. The article says, "Introducing free calls with your assistant on Google Home." And if you go to the second paragraph, it says it's explaining the multi-accounts support and says because the assistant on Google Home recognizes your voice, you'll reach your dad instead of just any dad.
Oh.
And that actually led me to want an app that just calls any dad at any time. And like, hey, what screwdriver do I use to fix this? And a dad picks up and tells you what to do.
It'd be called Dad Chat.
It'd be any dad.
Yeah, any dad.
Not your dad, any dad.
When you want to talk to dad,
any dad. I have not tested this for whatever reason. Jason, have you played with it or?
I mean, I haven't made any actual like substantial call, but I have tested it to test it out. And
should I call Ron right now?
It works. you're calling Ron right now with your Google Home?
No. You have to set it up beforehand, don't you?
Time I did it, I just like did the command and it said, "This is the first time you're calling someone. So a couple of tips," and it tells you no 911. It tells you about the unknown number and then it places the call.
No
911.
So never know.
So I can't scream for the police. Oh my God.
It needs to have that. That's definitely a big failing, right? If something happens and you're in the middle of the room and you can't, you know, you're incapacitated for whatever reason, you want to be able to scream out like, "Call 911." Like that actually makes a whole lot of sense. So it's kind of a bummer that isn't there to begin with.
Oh. But all right, then. So there you go. It is.
So yay. U.S. and Canada. I'm sorry, Chris. Not Australia yet. You wait another year, I'm guessing.
Or five, yeah. The but I do think not showing your name, your number is it's a big deal on that.
Yeah.
As to the usefulness of it, like no one wants to answer an unknown number call.
So true.
It's assuming that that everyone has a Google Home is using Google Voice or Project Fi, which I feel like is a false assumption.
Oh, yeah.
No way, Jose. Not even close.
I mean, I do wonder what the technical limitation is there for Google Home to, proxy your actual cell phone through your carrier, your cell phone's number, right, to represent itself as that. And I wonder if that's even possible.
No, but I wouldn't say it would have to proxy through your carrier. Why isn't it just if you have your phone in the house and you have the Home app installed on your phone, why doesn't the Google Home just become a microphone and a speaker for the phone call?
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. That's a good, maybe that's what they'll end up doing.
I am not
a programmer. Well, that would work if you're on iPhone, though.
What's that? It would work either way, I would hope, anyways.
No, but Apple don't have any APIs to make a call. If you had an iPhone,
Well, there we go. That would be a hindrance to the mass market. But I'd be fine with my Android phone.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by FreshBooks. Their all new version of their cloud accounting software is going to make running your business easy, fast, and secure. The FreshBooks dashboard gives you quick access to your spending, your outstanding balances, total profit, accounting reports like sales tax summary and profit and loss. Time tracking features make it easy to bill for time by client and by specific projects. You just press play, and you're going to track your time to the minute. When it comes time to create an invoice, you'll know what you did and when you did it. All of that clarity is baked in there. You can now assign services to projects and designate different rates for each service so you can bill more accurately for your time. You can also send professionally looking invoices online. And by doing that, you actually get paid an average of 11 days faster. So much faster, and that's a really great deal for you, getting money faster. Gotta love that. With FreshBooks Payments, your customer can pay straight from their invoice. You'll see what invoices have been sent, which ones have been viewed and paid. You can brand and set recurring invoices, send automatic payment reminders, or set automatic late fees. So you don't have to do all that manually. It just kind of happens on the fly. Stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. You always have that app for direct access. You can snap a photo of your receipt or connect your bank account or credit card to automatically import expenses daily. FreshBooks integrates with Stripe, Shopify, Gusto, Acuity, scheduling, and more. FreshBooks is adding new features and improvements to their platform on a weekly basis. They're always updating things. You can now do things like reward prompt clients and encourage customer loyalty by adding discounts to recurring templates. You can also open any invoice in a new browser tab window so you can work across several invoices at the same time. And I mean, with all this, no wonder they were included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. So try it for free. You'll see what there is to love about FreshBooks. You can try it for free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/AAA. Don't forget to enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And we thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of All About Android. All right. It is time to drop the phone. Whatever that was.
That was a phone.
All right. Drop the phone. It's time for hardware. Put down the phone, Flo.
I'm sorry about that, y'all. I'm so sorry about that.
You are flush with phones. So, it's understandable.
So before we get into talking about the Essential Phone, just a quick little phone update. As many of you know, I've been moaning about the Nextbit Robin reaching its end of life with me. And luckily enough, the good folks at Motorola were kind enough to send me a Motorola Z2 Force.
Oh, nice. Along
with the mods that go with it. And for the next month, I'm going to be living the modular phone life. Basically the conversation was, someone pointed out to me that I've been talking the talk on modular phones, but not walking the walk. So I'm going to give it a try. So I've had the phone for a couple of days now. So that is what I'm currently rocking with my phone.
That's awesome. I'm curious to know after a month, because you have been talking about modular phones for a long time.
Yeah.
Curious to know what life is like with modular phones after
and
all that
what's,
hype.
And what's interesting about this phone is that it's bigger than my usual. It's much bigger than my Nexbit Robin, right? And it's also no headphone jack. So that's also another thing that I've been very I've been an advocate of, no headphone jack. Let's see if I need a headphone jack or not.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah.
So like in maybe in like 2 weeks or so, we'll do I'll do a full kind of report on it, and then we'll see how that goes and if I'm going to keep it or not. So yes, but the Nexbit Robin is still here. It's just not on. So
that's the phone I dropped, by the way. And
the next
what
the Moto Z2 Force.
Oh well, at least it has a shatterproof screen.
I was just going to say. At least has a shatterproof display.
But right. what's so exciting is that I got invited here in New York City this past Monday. We talked about it last week to a kind of a hands-on event from Essential, where they hosted a lovely rooftop party in New York City, and got to not only check out the Essential, but they had several different little kind of setups showing kind of the pieces of the Essential, kind of like some design concepts leading to the a phone broken into its various components. Got to talk to some of the staff that were there. Some Essential employees were there. It was all in all a good event. I saw Marques Brownlee there, which is great.
Nice.
So we chatted a little bit, So there's a picture of me holding the Essential phone. So it exists.
Yeah, go ahead and hit play on that, Victor. There's a little play icon up there. Yeah. There you go.
So that is the Essential phone with its with the 4K 360 modular camera attached to it. So got to play with it. Couple immediate thoughts. One, it's a dense phone. It's heavy.
Oh,
like,
really?
It feels like a brick, in a good way too. Like, I don't know if it's the ceramic or the battery or whatever it might be, but it's got some heft to it. Right. So that was the other one. In there, you just saw me kind of pull up the app draw. This phone comes with no other apps other than ASOP, like standard Android, except there's only one add-on app, which is the camera app, which controls the 4K 360 camera.
Okay.
So they're like literally when I pulled up the screen there and you saw like maybe three rows of apps, that's all that came on the phone. It's empty. Right, which I don't think I've ever seen a phone as empty as it did out of the box. Right.
Wow.
You see me taking off the camera there and snapping it back on. The 360 camera has kind of similar to the pogo pin kind of thing of the Moto Z2, but only two little pins. And it also connects wirelessly and sends the data through that, which I thought was really interesting. One of the guys was telling me about how that works, and then also the camera, I guess, is so. I don't know what it is, but there's a little fan inside the camera. So when you connect it, it kind of whirs up and you hear it kind of whir, which is kind of neat.
Oh, wow.
Which is neat. So, other thing I noticed is that, the fingerprint sensor on the back feels very natural, like the Google Pixel. If you look as I'm flipping it around and looking at it, there is no branding or logo on this phone whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to somebody at Essential about that, and they said, you paid enough money for this phone. You don't need to advertise it for us. And I was like, oh,
okay.
That was really interesting. Well, and that was nice.
And it's a very eye-catching design. I think it's the kind of design that if you have it, people are probably like, they're probably going to notice. They're probably going to ask you about it. And then you become the evangelist for it. You know what I mean? It didn't require, like, the Asus Zenfone AR has this, I mean, I feel like the very ugly Asus logo on the front, just all shiny and big up at the very top, and you can't help but see it. And like
any brand logo on the front of your phone is ugly.
There's no exception to that rule. I would completely agree. So, it doesn't need to be there. People will ask you about it if they're interested, and you'll be the evangelist for it,
Yeah. But what's interesting is that without the logo and with it being a black slab, yes, they might notice it, but it does look very anonymous. It does look very odd in that case. It's cool, but it's like if I was going to get this phone, I would not want the black. Let's just say that. I think that it's super super shiny and super just a slab kind of thing, Yeah.
How did it feel size-wise?
It felt good. It felt like a good size. Like I'm trying to compare it. If it felt bigger than a Pixel, but felt maybe smaller than the Moto Z2 Force that I'm currently using. So it was somewhere in between those two.
if someone is of the mind that, say, a Pixel XL or a 6 Plus is too big, what would you say to them about this phone?
I would say it's more in the right direction then. I don't know if it's the right. I don't want to definitively say though then that's the right size, but I could hold it. You know, here there's a picture of me holding it clearly in my hand. I think the Pixel XL is too big, and I have pretty big hands, and I did not get that feeling from this phone.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
Yeah.
Did you see the color that you wanted to see, Ron? Did you see the emerald color that you wanted to see?
No. If you go look at the Victor, if you pull up the video of the marketing display, you can see. There's some elements of the Ocean Depths case. Here you see some of the concepts on the cameras that they worked through. And then they had a design kind of sketchbook, and they had a laptop running through different designs and things like that. And then they had basically the materials, the build materials. And you could see there all the way on the right of this video in the different kind of frames and stuff. Uh-huh. There's an ocean blue back. There it is.
That's
and
nice
there's
looking.
Also to the left of it is the copper frame that would work with it. And so I asked the gentleman who was an essential employee who was manning the station, when is Ocean Depths, the green color that I want, going to go on sale? And he smiled and said, very soon, in the future. And I wouldn't get a non-marketing speak answer out of him otherwise. But what he did say was that if you see it go for sale on the Essential website, buy it, because there's a very good chance it won't be there when you go back.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I read that to believe that it's going to be a very small production run. And I got a little, it was interesting. I got a little backstory from that. It was that he said that they did, they wanted to have different colors because, like us, they're bored of black and white phones and all that sort of stuff. And they did user focus group testing, and unanimously, the two colors that were reported by the users of what colors they liked their phones to be were black and white. So while like I'm of the category that I would rather have the blue Pixel or the green, the green Essential or the mint Nextbit Robin, apparently the users spoke and they just want black and white. So I think they focus on that.
iPhone users, of course. Yeah. All they've ever picked from was black and white for so long. And then some golds came in, but like, man.
Yeah. But I did hear a long-winded story about the paint that they used to paint the phones, and how they had a paint that was used that actually blocked the signal between the 360 camera and the phone. And so they had to change the type of paint, you know, which is really interesting stuff. Uh-huh. Now, caveat, I took a couple pictures and I saw how it looked and stuff like that. They were pushing the 4K modular camera way more than the camera on the phone. Right. And I know in a lot of the reviews of the Essential phone we've been reading is that the failing is the camera, as we often hear. Right. I took a couple pictures. I looked in the gallery, but I didn't have enough time to play with it to tell you definitively that the camera is a problem on this phone. Especially coming, you know, with me coming from a Nextbit Robin where the camera is not that great. Anything looks good to me. So I would defer to our friends at other websites that have spent more time with the camera. But it looked fine. I mean, like I took a picture on the roof of New York City. It looked great. But I didn't get to go to a club or go to a show and see low light, you know, kind of taking pictures of a band or anything like that. But so I can't definitively tell you the camera is not a problem. What isn't a problem is the notch. As you see me playing with it, you notice it at first and then you just never notice it again.
Yeah.
You know, and I kept on pulling up the draw as it would go behind the notch. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like it was neat. So I didn't have a problem with the notch at all. I love how empty, the phone is of apps. Like that's, look at that. There's nothing. There's four rows of apps. There's nothing on it. And 128 gig is a ton of space, to have on a phone. So, all in all, I would say I was impressed by it. All in all, I was I liked what I felt. I liked what I played with. I liked how it is. That said, at $699 and questions about the camera, I just don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger or not. I'm still waiting for Ocean Depths. We'll see how I feel the day Ocean Depths go for sale.
Well, now you know what's going to happen though, right? Like Ocean Depths goes on sale, and if you actually do see it up there and knowing what they told you, man, you're going to be so much more inclined to pull the trigger because it's like scarcity. Yeah. That scarcity information is enough to tip you over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably right in that. But that said, it's this felt like a flagship phone. This is one of the first phones I've ever used or played with that felt like it was as expensive as it should be. Like, it just felt different. It felt like in another class.
Nice.
So there it is.
Now, Chris, before the show, you were saying you were looking forward to talking about the Essential phone. I assume that means that are you interested in this phone for yourself, or what are your thoughts on what you've seen about the Essential phone?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, it's with Amazon. It's I don't think it's available to anyone outside the States, but I think. Look, at a high level, do you want to see a brand new hardware device that Andy Rubin has built from scratch? That's a pretty compelling proposition. I'm certainly really interested in it. And for the longest time, I have wanted a phone without bezels. Bezels have always irked me. I think this trend to get rid of them is terrific. I'm really curious to hold it to get a sense of how it feels in the hand size wise, because I am a person who I just can't use larger phones. Like, I've been developing on my Nexus 6P lately, and it's just too big for me. Mm-hmm. The Pixel is the smaller Pixel is a far better size. So I'm really interested to see if if this promise of a larger screen in a form factor is the right fit for me.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that I was very impressed. That's where I walked away from it. I was very, very impressed. And I wish that they had sample ones for us to take home, because I want to spend time with the camera and get the feeling of, getting to see if it truly is. And the thing is that the camera the camera on the phone is that they're using the black and white lens and the color lens, right? That technology. And from what I read online from other people's reviews is that after the first software update, it got significantly better. So I think that's a hopeful direction, that any kind of kinks they're working out with the camera can be solved with in software. So, it definitely felt, like I said, it felt like a $700 phone. It really felt nice. So,
very nice.
Quickly on the price, like, I'm excited by the idea of a more expensive phone. I think I can definitely understand why there would be a segment of people that would look at it and go, no, I don't want to pay that much, and that's entirely fine and reasonable. But I think for the longest time I've sort of had the question, well, if a phone did cost more, what would it look like? What would you get for that extra money? So I think it's really exciting that question is being explored.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of other hardware pieces, and we've already gone over. Honestly, Essential was the big part of this block anyways, but we've got a few other phones to talk about. Flo, take it away.
Yeah, so real quick, I mean, remember Nokia is still making phones? I know we've been talking about it a lot. So HMD Global unveiled the new Nokia 8, finally. The top-of-the-line Android device coming to Europe in September for €599. So what is that, like around maybe 700 USD maybe?
Somewhere around there,
this particular phone will have a 5.3-inch LCD display, a Snapdragon 835 processor, so it's on the same chip as the rest of us, 4 gigs of RAM, and a 13-megapixel dual camera array. It also has a strangely labeled Bothy mode. It sounds silly, and like, at least when Huawei said Groofy, like, it kind of made sense, but it took me a while to realize that this was pronounced Bothy. So this combines the front and rear cameras into a single image, effectively doing all of the Photoshop work for you beforehand.
I guess so.
Listen, many Bothy spies died to bring us this information.
Bothy, the new feature you never knew you needed. Although this isn't the first time. Samsung has this, by the way.
It's just two things at once. Like, it's not a brand new feature. It's just a cute little way to market it, which is fine. Whatever. That's cool. But again, a bunch of other phones have had this for so long. The LCD display on the Nokia 8 does offer some standby notifications like on the OLED devices. And HMD made a proprietary low power mode for a section of the display to do it, which I'm actually curious about seeing in person what that's like.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were able to kind of pull this off with not OLED, which is what they've needed before, or what they've used before, rather, in order to pull this off. So that's kind of neat. I don't know. I mean, Nokia 8 is kind of Nokia HMD's flagship Nokia running Android. I feel kind of lukewarm about it.
It's coming to the U.S. and China as customized variants. So it's going to come here somewhere. I wonder if it's going to be as quiet as like a Huawei launch in the U.S., though, where it's just going to like, it's going to be a big deal in China. And then here it's just going to be quietly added to Amazon as something that you can add to your cart.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's been my experience with Huawei devices, because I don't see a lot of advertising and such for the Chinese phone maker here in the U.S. So, but Nokia has a bigger, but I don't, but then, oh, and the BlackBerry, it's so much, like Ron was saying, it's all fan service.
It's all fan service.
Fan service.
Well, I mean, the Nokia brand has a lot of holdouts, a lot of people who were big fans of Nokia. I was never like all in on the Nokia bandwagon. Chris, was Nokia ever a brand that you followed very closely?
Well, it was the first phone I ever had. Was,
well, there you go.
Was that, you know, the meme brick, the 3310. I mean, I certainly think it's an interesting what if Nokia had the presence of mind to realize that their strength was not in software, it was in distribution and really embraced Android early. Who's to say what position they'd be in? Look, I don't think I'm the target market for this phone.
Yeah.
You made a great point about why they're not a big deal anymore.
They are to some. Just
They are to some, but in the top five.
Yeah, HMD is trying to reposition it. Maybe 2 years down the line we see if
they were mentioned. They were mentioned in that whole Android O scrawl, by the way, like on the official Google page at the very bottom.
I believe it
was.
Oh, okay.
Where they mentioned
I noticed that. I think the list was in alphabetical order, though.
Okay.
Well, it was still, I thought it was good, interesting to see them there.
To see them there. Asus, so I've been playing with the Zenfone AR. Asus actually went nuts to unveil another phone, actually an entire range of Asus Zenfone 4 or Asus Zenfone 4 devices. From Zenfone 4 all the way up to Zenfone 4 Pro with a total of 6 different models all together. All have 5.5-inch HD displays. Some have IPS, some have AMOLED. All have dual rear-facing cameras. Zenfone 4 Selfie and Selfie Pro, those are two of the phones, have front-facing 20 and 24 megapixel cameras. So that is obviously standing up to the name. It's what it implies. Processors range from Snapdragon 430 up to 835. The Zenfone 4 Pro really seems like the one that would be the classic, like, premium smartphone with the 835 and the, you know, lots of RAM and everything. Memory ranges from 3 to 6 gigs. Storage ranges from 32 to 128 gigs. Battery range from 3,000 to 5,000 milliamp hour battery. That 5,000 milliamp hour battery is the Max Pro. It's for the battery fan. Selfie, of course, for the selfie fan. The Pro is for the premium internal spec fan. So
something for everyone.
I know. Zenfone 4, $399 all the way up to Zenfone 4 Pro, $599 prices in between, which just makes me realize, like, man, this is just too many variants. I mean, choice is good, but when it comes to informing consumers on their choices, this gets confusing a little quickly. But maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
I think 6 SKUs is an awful lot of SKUs. Yeah. And just looking at that there, you're what, requiring people to do the old PC spec game?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to contrast that with Essential, who have built the best device they can and put that out there. But
I guess everyone has different approaches and different markets, obviously. You know, the lower end phone of these Zen phones is nowhere near the essential market. So, But yeah. I agree. It seems like a dizzying number of SKUs.
I mean, you look at this grid and your eyes kind of cross a little bit. But it is what it is there. If you like choice, Asus might have the phone for you.
Why can't the Selfie Pro have the best SoC in it? I'm just saying.
Yeah, right? Like pick two and take the best of each and split them somehow. I don't know. I don't know how you do that better, but there you go.
Yep.
All right, Ron.
So real quick, going back to the essential, one thing I did forget to mention was that I love the bezel-less design. It was like a dream come true. But and speaking of bezel-less design, you might remember the Xiaomi Mi Mix 1 was designed by Philippe Starck, and now he's back teasing the conceptual design for the Mi Mix 2. And you know, that kind of led the charge of bezel-less designs and insanity of a bezel-less design. And so it's nice to see Philippe Starck is still working with Xiaomi, and that the Mi Mix 2 might be returning to push the boundaries even further on how far to the edge can you go. Look at that bottom. There's
is that
it's
a selfie
nearly
camera
gone
at the bottom there.
It's I don't know where the selfie camera is, and then the I imagine
like
the,
it was at the bottom.
Is that what they did with the Mi Mix? I can't remember.
I can't remember either, yeah. But I got to imagine, unless they're able to do it through the glass somehow or whatever, because that bottom strip looks very thin. Or not very
well. Well, if they are able to do it, then...
in the bottom right.
Yeah, it's got to be in the bottom, and I imagine it's the kind of thing where they put it all down there, and if you're going to take a selfie, you just hold it upside down, and it repositions itself. Definitely seen that before.
Either way, I said it. I'm on record. Yeah, I'm going to make t-shirts. There it is. Yeah, in the bottom right-hand corner. Yeah, I see it. The future is bezel-less. It really is.
It looks really nice, I got to say. I mean, it's just a concept, but...
I like how this is the design. Like, I could have designed that.
Draw some thin lines around the edges. There you go.
It
cool.
looks like
design.
Samsung marketing with all of, like, the Galaxy stuff and the curve.
Yeah. Welcome to the world of Philip Stark.
Yep.
Real quick, before we thank the sponsor, just a quick reminder. Tomorrow is the Samsung Note event. What is it? Unpacked. So we're actually going to be doing live coverage. Leo and I are going to be on set tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, something, something GMT. I'm not really quite sure what it is, and I apologize. But we will be here tomorrow morning doing live coverage of the Unpacked event, and I'm sure they're going to show off a Note 8 and possibly other things. So if you're not doing anything, or even if you are, cancel those things and watch twit.tv/live, and you'll see us talk about this, and it'll be posted later in the specials feed. And, of course, we'll talk about it next week on this show. Let's take a minute to thank the sponsor of this episode. This is episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you've gone through this process, you know just going through the traditional mortgage process is not easy. There are so many hurdles, so many roadblocks along the way, places where you have to dig up information and you know, get it all in order and get it just right in order to complete the process. It's dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your information, your financial information, with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or even your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, your assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and then find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right, email time. We have a few. Ron,
yes.
This isn't an email. This is Twitter, but it's super impressive.
This was fantastic. So last episode, you might remember, we were kind of chatting about creating a Android Hall of Fame, where we would enter in the best devices in Android's history. And we kind of chatted about all the different devices that are out there. And this is why I love our audience and the community around All About Android. But Daniel Tyson posted on Twitter, I believe in response to that conversation about the Android Hall of Fame, and where he says, I think that's all of it. And shares a picture of us with what looks like every Android device that there's ever been, nearly everyone, including Nexuses, Pixels, Android Wear, Android One, Android TV, Chromecast, Tango, Glass, Chrome OS. It's an impressive photograph. And as far as I can tell, this is about as close to everything in one place as I've ever seen.
Can we just appreciate that there is a mannequin head with the Google Glass on them. Can we just please appreciate that?
I know, right?
the attention to detail that Daniel, of course, you know, leading up Austroid, you know, one of the best blogs about Android, makes sense that he would have all this, but the mannequin was above and beyond.
And also a shout out to Dan, because I mentioned before that Google Home was not available in Australia for the longest time. Dan actually brought me back my first Google Home. So thanks to Dan.
He got you in on it early.
What I like about this is in the photos that he's got, he's got cardboard in there and Daydream and just like, it's multiple sizes. It's amazing. Even the slider phones up top. The G1 and my old good old G1. That was amazing. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I feel inadequate.
I know, right? I look at this and I'm like, man, I thought my collection was good, but it's nothing. Nothing compared to this. That's incredible.
Well, you know,
three different 6Ps. Look at that.
Yeah. My collection isn't good because I had to sell my stuff. Rent stuff. Come on. That's why I don't have like all my old stuff. Because, like, you know, I was trying to be economical by selling things every time I would, you know, upgrade. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any of the old stuff.
Now you have no history.
I honestly, I know that I have my phones. I just don't know where they're in boxes somewhere scattered between San Francisco and New York City. They're somewhere, but I know I've got them.
Oh, wait, that's in New York.
Although, man, those are so much fun to fire up every once in a while and remember.
Yep.
But, you know, load up one of those old phones that you used to rely on day in, day out, and it seemed normal back then. It doesn't seem normal anymore, I'll tell you that.
It was so normal back then.
Yeah. All right, Flo, you got the next one.
Yeah, so we've got this beautiful letter from Larry. I haven't read it yet, but we'll see. I think it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, I know.
Larry writes, I love All About Android.
Yes.
See? Beautiful. And now that we have the adulation out of the way, here's a nomination for the Android Hall of Fame you were talking about on the latest show. So it goes on to say, the Galaxy Note 4. 1, humongous screen. 2, did I already say humongous screen? 3, a stylus when you need one. 4, an SD card slot for humongous memory. 5, a replaceable battery. With a plastic body, its antennas have a much easier time hanging on to distant tower signals than do the phones with metal bodies. Anyone ever tell the phone designers that radio waves don't much like trying to travel through metal? Even though Samsung put a ton of software crud on the phone, it's got enough CPU muscle and RAM to fight its way up to the Android Lite. I'm really regretting I didn't buy a couple of these when I could. Like the perfect pair of jeans, if you find the right run, the right one, hang on, note forever.
Man, Larry's like note 4 super fan.
Yeah, that was a beautiful, beautiful adulation of Galaxy Note 4. Now, I apologize for the pause. I was hoping for I thought maybe there was a picture in there somewhere that I was missing, but I feel like Larry is one of the few people I know who really adored and appreciated that phone because it wasn't very popular.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm looking it up now to kind of see the general thoughts on the Note 4. I mean, I lose track. There's so many of them.
There was the Note 3, and I believe it was 2014 that it came out.
Yes. It was the end of 2014, I believe. is about the time, or maybe it was the beginning of January of 2015.
Oh, well, when I wrote that Samsung finally listens to his fans and it pays off. So I give it a 4 out of 5.
I don't know enough about the individual notes to differentiate one from another because I haven't had the note, but I feel like the note as a line, despite the recent turn of it, but the note as a line deserves a special place in our Android Hall of Fame because, Jason, you remember we just railed on that phone when it came out. I mean, that was the original Android in the wild. Like, if you see anybody out there with this enormous phone, it's basically a tablet, blah, blah, blah. And look at the story arc of the Galaxy Note. I feel like that deserves a special corner in the display of the Android Hall of Fame.
I would absolutely agree. This goes back, you know, so far, this was one of the early examples of, man, they'll do anything on Android, won't they? And it turned out it totally redefined in many ways how smartphones are now.
You guys, this was actually a really good phone. Now that I'm looking back on it, it was a Note 3 that I was thinking it was kind of abhorrent because it had that like faux leather faux leather plastic stitching.
Yes.
So
oh,
it looked
I remember
like real
that.
Leather,
I hated it
plastic.
So much.
This was the one where they sort of like remodeled the design a little bit, gave it a little more panache. And this is the year that we got the Edge. So it was just one side was curved. And that's a phone that I've seen a lot of in the wild because a lot of people got those phones. I'm assuming it's freebies. And so they just figured, hey, I want a big screen, so I'll take what I can get. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's some note history for all y'all.
Chris, have you always been Pixel Nexus side of things, or did you ever venture out into the Samsung like Note world or anything like that?
I've definitely had, you know, different devices. Certainly I've had to buy them for fixing bugs. You know, on Samsung devices. I had the Note 2, and I remember at the time thinking that was ridiculously big. And showing it to everyone, and they looked at it and thought that is ridiculously big. But now, obviously, that would look relatively small. I think certainly smaller than a 6-inch phone.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
And I'm actually using the Galaxy S6 at the moment, the edge to edge one, because my third Google Pixel died. I had the microphone fail on me 3 times, and so the third time happened recently, and I thought I fixed it when I rolled back from the O preview, and the microphone started working again, but then it died again like 2 days later, and I was so annoyed when it happened because I'd just taken this photo of this long video of one of my kids doing singing, and it turns out I did not get the singing.
Oh, so, that's the worst. Yes, I know that.
Oh, so I was pretty livid. And so basically I took my Pixel back, and because it was the third time it happened, they ended up giving me a full refund. So essentially I will be able to I essentially use the Pixel for 10 months for free, and I can just use that money for this year's basically.
That's great.
But yes, so I am currently using the S6.
Yeah, right on. Chorp in chat said, reminded us, the Galaxy Note 1 had a 5.3-inch screen.
And we thought it was enormous.
Like, didn't it feel, felt like a tablet. Like, I remember seeing pictures of someone holding it up to their face to make a call. And I was like, wow, that looks so nerdy. Like, that is like a huge, huge device that you're holding up pretending like it's a phone. Now that's small. I mean, that's...
Yep. I actually remember when the Galaxy Nexus came out, I had a Nexus S at the time, and I didn't want to get the Galaxy Nexus because I thought it was too big.
Yep.
I remember that. Same thing. I had the Galaxy S2, and I loved it. That was the plastic, the Samsung one with the shiny plastic case on the back. And then
I've still got it here. It's my faithful Jelly Bean testing device.
Nice. That's awesome.
Perfect. It still gets good use. JJ is making a very good point in chat also. He says the screen-to-body ratio is better now than it was then. And amen to that. Yeah. I mean, big difference then versus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though the screen was bigger, it was still even bigger. The device itself was not like today's 5.3-inch. It was a lot wider and a lot taller to fit that screen in there. So it's a really good point, JJ.
But you know what, guys? If it weren't for Samsung's interface back on the Galaxy S2, my father wouldn't be on iOS right now.
Touch Wiz with that arrow is so bad.
He like rubs it in my face that he can't like wait for the new iPhone, and he's just such a troll.
Touch Wiz was really bad back then. It's better.
Very bad.
It's not amazing by any stretch, but it's so much better. Yeah, it improved a lot. It was so bad. But they were all
Android.
What's that?
It's easy to look. I would say so did Android. Like it's it's easy to look back romantically, but like I didn't hate the gingerbread era. It was a scattershot, but I recall some of the apps quite fondly, but I never liked Holo.
Yeah, Holo. I liked Holo because it was different, and it was it had a little bit of a flashy factor to it. But definitely in hindsight, it just became another kind of eyesore, I suppose. We've evolved. We've evolved on all sides.
We have definitely evolved.
Holo got everyone on a style. It wasn't a nice style, but it was a consistent style. And that was the first time Google actually published their guidelines. But Material, I think that's when Android really started to look genuinely good.
Yeah, I would agree. We have one last thing here because we got a video mail. So we're going to play it. Les, send us this video mail. Les, take it away. Take it away, toys.
Hi, All About Android crew. Got a quick question for you. I use my Android keyboard on my phone to reply to my emails using voice dictation all the time. However, I've moved phone to phone to phone to phone, and it always gets my last name wrong. It spells it right, but it won't actually capitalize my last name. I looked in the settings for the keyboard and didn't find my name there. I assume it's somewhere stored in Google because, again, it moves it forward to phone and always does that. Every time I say my name, boom, it does it without a capitalization. Maybe you can help me. Love your show. Keep up the good work.
So I may have missed a detail in this when I was researching. However, I may not have. So he added in his email with the video link attached that his keyboard that he's been using has been SwiftKey, which made me think, okay, SwiftKey has its own dictionary. And if your name's in SwiftKey's dictionary and it's not capitalized, but it's stored in there like that, maybe it's capturing, like it's recognizing the name, it's matching it to SwiftKey's dictionary, and then swapping it in with the lowercase. If that's the case, I don't know if that's it, but if that's the case, you need to make a correction there. And how you do that in SwiftKey, it's been a while since I used it, but how you used to be able to do that is you type your name so that it would show it. It would show the predicted word on the left side. You delete that from your dictionary by long pressing on it, and that would remove it from your dictionary. Then type it again the way it's supposed to be with the uppercase, and tap that left box. That stores it in SwiftKey's dictionary. And I'm wondering if that would fix it. Then when you do the voice correction and it inputs it into SwiftKey's keyboard, I imagine it's also pulling from SwiftKey's dictionary. Otherwise, that would be a big oversight, I feel like. So maybe that would help. I don't know. I don't know if anyone has any.
There a Google setting that helps you? Because I have this issue with my husband. He spells his name with a K instead of a C. And I basically can't ask Google to call him because it just doesn't work that way. So isn't there something in the settings where you can tell Google how to refer to certain people in your contacts?
I don't know. That's a good question. If there is, I have not seen it.
Okay, I'm going to look for that. And if I find it, I'll write about it. And then I will point you all to that article.
That would be good.
That's what's going to happen.
But maybe that'll help. Les, it's been a while since I've used SwiftKey, though. I'm so locked into Google's keyboard, the Gboard.
Same.
As it were, it's been a while since I've been using Gboard.
I do have that problem with the names and the people. There's a lot of Erics in my life.
Robot has another recommendation. Maybe this would help you out, Flo. Add a nickname to the contact.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You can add a nickname, and maybe that would be something that it could catch on to. I'm not sure, but that's a good tip.
robot, however you say that.
So we have a final ad that we're going to get into the arena. However, Chris does not have an app to bring to the arena. And so, Chris, I know you're well past lunchtime right now, and we appreciate that you have sacrificed your lunch for us, at least in the short term. So we're going to let you get some lunch now. You get to get some food now. You've earned food. Maybe a bowl full of Oreos.
Really, very good.
Really appreciate you coming on tonight and chatting Android with us. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me. It was great to be back on.
Absolutely. We'll get you back again soon. Where do you want people to kind of follow all the stuff that you're doing? What are you working on? This is your chance to promote.
Certainly, my Twitter handle, at Chris M. Lacey, you'll definitely, that's the best way to keep up to date with all my doings. But, as you mentioned at the top, I do have a podcast. I've haven't done many for a while simply because Action Launcher has just consumed so much of my time. It's almost funny to think back to when I used to, write an Action Launcher update, compared to everything that's involved now as far as like doing the animated GIFs and that sort of stuff that are visible now. And there's long story short, I've just been so busy with Action Launcher, but I am going to kick the podcast up again soon. And but please check out Action Launcher. It will hopefully be a better launcher than ships on your current phone and bring all the Android O and Pixel features to that phone. So enjoy that. And if there's something you don't like, let me know on Twitter.
Right on. Action Launcher will change your life. We can go ahead and say that definitively.
Let's go with that. Sure.
All right. It's your new tagline. Really appreciate it, Chris. Chris Lacey's awesome. Thank you for joining us tonight. And have a good lunch.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
Thanks, Chris.
See you later, man. Have a good night. All right, Ron, you got this.
Yes, we want to thank our last sponsor of the show. We want to thank WordPress for sponsoring All About Android. And we know, listen, we're builders. We're the type that get our hands dirty. We all know that building something new, something that others can connect with, is a lot easier when you have the right tools. And that's why we're so excited to have WordPress.com as our sponsor. We use WordPress.com every day. I use it personally. I was using WordPress today. And whether you're looking to create a personal blog, a business site, or both, creating your website on WordPress.com helps others find you, remember you, and connect with you. You don't need experience. You don't need to hire anybody. WordPress.com guides you through the entire process. They've got hundreds of beautiful designs to choose from. If anything, my biggest problem is picking which design I actually want to use. I get lost in all the designs. So many great options, so many great designs, and you can get them all with the click of the button. You get built-in search engine optimization and social sharing, and their business plan lets you access hundreds of plugins and themes. So if you're looking for that right bit of functionality to make your business site sing, WordPress.com has got it. You choose a WordPress.com plan, and you'll join a lively community where you have access to expert-friendly support. This is why I love WordPress. WordPress has been around for so long that it's nearly 100% of the time someone else has run into the problem that I'm having, and there's always a solution there. It's such a great community to lean on and to help make sure your website runs exactly as you want it to. So come see why 28% of all websites run on WordPress, the web's most popular and most powerful site-building platform. Get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. Just go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website and find the plan that's right for you. Once again, that's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. And we thank WordPress for their support and for making some awesome software to help my website run smoothly. Thank you, WordPress.
Thank you, WordPress. WordPress.com/allaboutandroid. And now it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives.
Android
Arena.
All right.
Flo is very excited. She's very excited for this moment.
You're pumped up. Yep. You know something
I
don't know.
Look at the results. You'll see.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Loopsy, in fact. I see Loopsy is winning at 45%. Very good job. I knew when we saw Loopsy, I had a really good feeling you were going to win. Clockwise Smart Alarm was really cool, too. That almost got there, 34% of the vote. That gave it a run for its money. Vista Golf, I mean, I had a hard time showing that off and making it look very cool. But I enjoy the game, and 20% of you enjoy it too.
So with these results, the unthinkable has happened. Not only have all three of us closed the gap on the guests who are now gone 2 weeks in a row, but Florence Flo has been able to pull herself out of the basement. Jason, wow. You are now in fourth.
No!
Only by 81 points.
81 points in fourth place for Jason.
No!
Flo is in third place with 82 points. I'm sitting pretty in second place with 86 points, and the guests are still in first place with 88 points, but I got a good feeling that's going to change next week.
Well, no. We'll certainly see, won't
we'll
we?
See.
Okay. All right. So this is going to be hard for me to show off because I'm going to go ahead and rely on the fact that I have the Zenfone AR here, which means I have the chance to bring a Project Tango app into the arena.
Okay, show
wow.
off.
And so
now,
I'm going to
before you do this, though, the risk of bringing a app that only a small number of people can use means you might not get a lot of votes unless it's really cool.
But true. You know what? I'm all about just bringing a cool app. I don't care how many people can download it. If it's
no,
cool,
Jason, that's not
in.
What. Jason, that's not what you're all about. You're all about Android.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. First and foremost, a subsection of Android is bringing cool stuff.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm here. So I'm casting. Can you? Do you have that, Victor? You're getting the cast. Awesome. Cool. So it actually
there we go. Oreos.
All right. Well, so there's some Oreos, but that's not what we're doing. Okay. So the app that I'm doing is an app that you may have already heard about. This is not necessarily a new app. It's one of the earlier Project Tango apps, but it's a cool way to show off what the Tango technology can do. It's called Dinosaurs Among Us. And basically, it's a way to, obviously, you can see the pass through. The camera pass through is working right there. On this side, I have a number of different 3D models of dinosaurs. And what I can do, so I'm going to go ahead and tap Velociraptor. Okay. I'm putting it right there. It's to scale, right? So obviously, I'm right under a Velociraptor right now. If I back away from the table as I'm doing right now, you can see it's firmly planted on the table, staring at me, slightly scary. This is only 90% scale too, so I'm going to go ahead and pop that up to 195.
Still 100. Pretty big.
There we go. That's a pretty monstrous dinosaur right there. Don't step on the Oreos and crush them, okay? In fact, I wonder.
Yeah.
Hold on. This is not
this is really cool.
Do. I've got like the microphone on my lap.
I'll give you credit, Jason. This is really cool.
He doesn't want
oh
any.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it tried to eat the Oreo. That was cool. All right, so there's that. Let's see here. Let's do an Arky. Okay, I'm going to remove that. So you hit the X, and it goes away. I'm going to go do over here. I'm going to do an Archaeopteryx. Okay. Something like that. There we go. Over here, I'm going to do a Caudipteryx. No, invalid position. Let's see here. There we go. So now, got that hanging out over there, that hanging out over there, and I can
full
you know
scale?
I can get up on it, I can go around
it. Is there now? Here's a question: is there audio or no?
Good question. I think that there is, but
yes.
Because I'm casting, I'm not sure that Victor's getting the audio.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just curious if the dinosaurs are making like you know like the Jurassic Park noises or not.
Roar is what how they say. Roar. That's what that one and this one's. Ah! That's what that one's saying.
There you go. That's very accurate. It's really, right, that's
cool.
Actually what they
yeah.
sounded like.
You know, I was around back in the dinosaur times. And then maybe
this
down
is really
there,
cool.
I'm going to go ahead and put an Almuther. There we go.
Now, what's cooler is that when you turn the phone off, the dinosaurs are still there.
Oh. Oh, man. It's pretty cool stuff. Anyways, it's a good indication. It's a good example of what you can get. Actually, that one that I just placed is only 80% scale. Let's pop that up to 100%.
Oh, it's not gonna fit in the room.
I know.
I like the shot of the dinosaur with the monitor behind it, with the shot of the dinosaur with the monitor behind it, and it's like Infinity Dinosaur when you have this. Yeah, there it is. There you go. Yeah.
I kind of got all three of them in the screen here, and I can go ahead and get a picture
with. Now, if you do anything, do they interact? I mean, like, I tried to eat the Oreo. Was that because you held the cookie up close to it? Like, do they do anything or no?
Well, here.
That would be fun.
Have an Oreo. Oh.
It says they're among us, so eat an Oreo, dang it.
I don't want to destroy the illusion by putting it too close. Here, eat it. Come on, eat it.
It seems like it's reacting to you being closer to
it.
Eat it. Ah, there we go. It ate a bite. All right. There we go.
All right, so that's pretty cool. Wow.
So anyways, this is Dinosaur Among Us. It's an example of the positional, especially, an example of the positional capabilities of Tango, how it anchors itself to the table. I can go entirely around it if I want and see all aspects, get up close, go far. It's going to keep that scaling. And it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun.
It's very cool.
You can record video, take selfies with them, all that kind of stuff. As you would do in the dinosaur age, you would take selfies with them. That's just how we roll. So
I want to point out they put feathers also.
What's that?
I did notice that. I noticed that.
I want to point out that they put feathers on it, which is cool. The feathers on the dinosaurs. They could have been lazy and not put the feathers.
Oh, yeah. It's totally true. Anyways. Okay. So I'm going to stop now. But there you go. Dinosaurs Among Us. Maybe you'll get a Zenfone AR because of this demo. I'm not sure that's the case, but it's cool nonetheless. There you go.
Maybe.
That's cool outside of the studio, like actually outside. Like that would be really cool. So yeah. That's a cool app, Jason. I'll give you the credit.
All right.
Have you tried the T-Rex yet?
I did not. No.
Okay. Well, it's you don't want to do it now because it's so big. You're going to have to like step away because it's to scale.
Yeah. And I would be scared.
Yeah.
I don't want to be scared. We're doing a show. I'll be scared afterwards when I can be scared and not have to worry about finishing the show. Actually, Wade County says, how hot is your phone right now? Not too bad, actually.
Okay.
It's a little warm, but it's not hot. So it's okay.
Ooh. It can't fry an egg.
No, definitely not. No, not going to fry an egg on this.
I got to say, AR dinosaurs sure make my app look like nothing.
But well, I will show it off for you, Ron.
If you're looking for a pretty cool app with some nice material design to make countdown widgets on your phone, have I got the app for you. This is called Hurry, and it allows you to make countdown widgets for any event in your life.
Perfect.
Okay.
Put them in the middle of the room and have them stand up?
No, you can't. So when you open up Hurry, what you can do is you can create an event. You hit the action button there, and you type what the name of it is. Like, let's say, for example, you have a wedding coming up, so you can type wedding. Oh, I don't know. Maybe you have a wedding coming up. And you can type and then under what, you can tell what kind of event it is. They've got some stuff pre-planned there: concert, wedding, holiday, birthday party, convention, exam. We're gonna stay with wedding. You could choose the date. Oh, I don't know, let's say sometime in October, maybe two months from now, let's say that, or October 22nd or October 19th or 7:19 p.m. and you hit the time and that sets the countdown. It asks if you're going to repeat it. You can say no repeat, but sometimes you like stuff. You can choose where, and you can look on a map to find the actual location of where the wedding might be. Let's say New York City, maybe, for example.
Or Disneyland.
Let's say Disneyland. Let's change that. So you're going to get married at Disneyland, and you're going to say select. Great. And so now photos, this is really cool. So what you can do is under photos, you can choose between web, select my own, or none. If you do select my own, it'll go to your gallery and pick a photo. Don't do that, Jason, though. Choose web. And what it does is that it's actually got a now hit add event. And it's going to look for photos on the web, and they have a great integration with Giphy. So let's say you scroll back up and you want to choose, since you're going to be at Disney, choose the one from up right there. And you hit done. And what it does is it puts the GIF behind your little event in their little thing. And so it will, once it loads, it will play the animation, which is really cool. It makes it very dynamic, which is neat. Hmm. So now once you've created this event, there it is. There it goes. See, isn't that cool? Like that. I thought that design was really nice. Wasn't that like really pleasant? I know it's just a GIF with a transparent color layer on top of it, but still, that's a good integration. Nice. And so then now go to your desktop or go to your wallpaper. I'm sorry, go to your main thing. And let's add a widget. And where the widgets they are. And so under hurry, under go find the H's. Mm-hmm. I hate how that changes from phone to phone, by the way.
That's annoying. I agree. I was just thinking that.
Yep. One more. There you go. One more. G, H, G. Keep going. Keep going. There it is. So you got a you missed it. You got a bunch of different widgets to choose from. Choose the first one in the upper right-hand corner. So because we only have one event in there, only one's going to load. And so now if you tap on that to choose the event, and there it is. And so now it's got the little graphic behind it, and it's got the countdown. I have friends who use these countdown apps to make like when the next superhero movie's coming out, or when Christmas is, or when birthdays are. People love countdowns. So this is actually a great, neat little well-designed app to let you do that. So there it is. Hurry, countdown for birthdays, concerts, whatever. It's free in the Google Play Store. Have a countdown widget that looks good. Why don't you?
Why don't you?
There you go.
Seriously, you've been putting it off.
Yeah.
You should do this.
Yes, as JJ in the chat room says, countdown to the 2024 eclipse. Sure, do that.
Sure. That's not too far away.
Countdown to the Game of Thrones finale. Do that. Countdown to the Twin Peaks finale. Do that.
Everything.
Countdown to your birthday. Countdown to your sister's birthday. Countdown to when the Pixel gets announced. You can make a countdown for anything with cool graphics. Not bad. I like the Giphy integration. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, so, cool.
There it is.
Hurry, countdown for birthday, concert, and widgets. All right.
It's no dinosaurs on the table, I know.
If you could put your countdown on the table, then we'd be talking.
But, yeah, exactly.
All right, Flo, how about a little wallpaper on the table?
Yeah. Well, this is no countdown either, or dinosaurs on the table, but it is dynamic wallpapers that change at will. As long as you want them to change, you can decide to change them automatically every time you enter in a new Wi-Fi network, or you can have them change automatically every time the sun sets, or you can have them change automatically every 3 hours in case you just really need some change in your life.
Yeah.
Smart wallpaper lets you set up wallpapers for different times of your life. Whatever you need, maybe the weather is changing. You can put a picture of a terrible storm that you once witnessed as the background to remind you of the fact that you need to go into the bomb shelter next time there is a hurricane. I don't know anything about hurricanes, so don't mind me making this comparison. The nice thing about smart wallpaper, it is super easy to set up. So the one that I have going on right now is, go back one page, Jason. The one that I have going on right now is the always random image, and that's supposed to do it every 3 hours. So it's the very last one. And what you could do is give it storage permissions. You can go through the Unsplash collection, which is a part of the smart wallpaper network, and choose from other people's wallpapers, or you can choose your own. You can choose to download full resolution, as you may have seen Jason do on screen. And once you download a bunch of these, you'll go back to that other screen you were just at and choose it.
Okay, so I'll do that. Then I'll go here, and then I'll go there. And if I had a bunch of them, then it would randomize through those. Is that right?
No, so you're just looking at what it looks like. So go up into the settings button right there. So that's it. You just change the image frequency, how often you want to change, and you can enable to tap it on screen if you want to change it. You decide that maybe you really hate that wallpaper. You could just do that. If you go back to the main menu, so here you'll see a list of what you have coming up in every single category. So let's say you want to go to the weather. So here you would set different images to show up for when it's clear, when it's partially cloudy, blah, 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 when it's rainy, when it's windy. Cool. And then maybe you live in San Francisco, so you'd put a foggy one to be this beautiful picture you took of the fog just sort of settling on the Golden Gate Bridge in the mid-afternoon. There's all sorts of possibilities. And if you're feeling really creative and artsy and you just kind of want your phone to have like a different vibe throughout the day, this is a really easy way to do it. And I have been testing it for a little bit, and it totally works. So it does change when it says it's going to change.
Connect to a Wi-Fi network.
Yeah. So that one, you could do it. Maybe if you're going to work, you would have a more like blasé wallpaper. And then when you come home, you have the wallpaper with all the curse words on it.
Ah, I like it. Right? There you
or
go.
Maybe the wallpaper of some obscene image that you don't want people to know you have as your wallpaper, which is fine. Whatever you do in your
home. To each their own. Yeah, exactly.
Thing. That's why these apps exist.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Right on.
And it's ad supported. So, you know. But they don't pop up with the wallpaper, which is kind of nice. And you can remove the ads for a small fee, which I think I ended up paying for with, I always forget how much it is because I always end up paying for it. $1.80. Not much to ask to support the developer.
Nice.
Just
smart wallpaper. It's smart.
It is.
It's smart, Michael. It's smart.
Smart. Smart wallpaper. Wallpaper. All right. Nice. I like that.
I love how in one episode so far I've quoted, I've referred to Monty Python, Star Wars, and The Godfather. So there you go.
It's like the nerd trifecta, essentially.
It really is. I really just hit every angle of it. So yeah.
All right. It's time for you to place your vote. Go to twit.to/AAApoll331. twit.to/AAApoll331 for episode 331. Is your favorite app this week? Is it Dinosaurs Among Us, Hurry, Countdown for Birthday Concert and Widgets, or Smart Wallpaper? Vote once, but vote with your heart.
Oh,
Victor, yeah. Vote with your heart as long as it is my app.
I think the story of this week's poll is going to be how much Dinosaurs Among Us wins by.
Mm-hmm. The story of this week's poll is Project Tango enough to win the arena?
It's pretty cool.
It might not be enough. We'll see.
Because if you win the arena, I am going to start bringing more VR apps into this arena.
VR schmiar.
It reminds me of when we would do Chromecast apps, like, you know, like the TV dashboard app or whatever, yes. And nobody had Chromecast yet. Like, it was like in month one of Chromecast, we're doing Chromecast apps, and it was like, too early.
Like, check out what I can do. Oh, you can't do that. Not as
impressive.
That's
kind of funny.
Yeah, totally. Excellent. twit.to/AAApoll331. Place your vote, and we will check in on it next week. And that is all we got for this week.
And that is that.
You've run us dry. We are done.
Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody. How about we say goodnight, everybody, each of us individually? Ron, yes. You go first.
Yes, let's say goodnight. I would like to say goodnight. You could say goodnight to me on Twitter at RonXO. Or you could, if you're not ready to go to bed yet, you could go listen to my other podcasts. Check out ifanboy.com where we're talking about comic books, or check out Damn Fine Podcast where we're talking about Twin Peaks. We've got 3 more episodes to go, only 2 more weeks. Me and Tom Merritt and guests talking about Twin Peaks. Last week I screamed out loud twice while watching it. It was very exciting. So go to damnfinepodcast.com to check that out, or to the aforementioned ifanboy.com where you can check out for all your favorite comic book talk, as well as we're going to be reviewing The Defenders, the new Netflix Marvel series. Fun times, lots of podcasts. RonXO on Twitter. There you go. There's ifanboy on the screen. You can see that. We got a little Batman. Fun action going on. So there it is.
Right on. Radicalness. Thank you, Ron, as always.
My pleasure.
And yeah, have fun with the phone for the next month.
I'm excited. I was dazzling people with the projector and we were out at a barbecue this weekend. I just popped the speaker on and we're playing music. It's the modular life is very interesting.
Living the modular life.
Hashtag yes. Module life.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Right on. That's awesome, Ron. Thank you. Flo, what about you?
Well, actually, so I'm not going to be on the show next week because I'm going to be in Ron's neck of the woods. Woo-hoo. For some fun, so which I still need to talk to Ron about. But until I can talk to Ron about that, you can find me on the internet at florenceion.com, at Snapchat and Twitter at OThatFlow. I'm still making engaging content for Snapchat, so please come join me in the dark side of the social networking land. Also, be on the lookout tomorrow at PCWorld.com. Perhaps maybe after Jason and Leo are done walking you through the Unpacked event, you know, the event that's being put on by Samsung tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Apparently something's going up there tomorrow.
Something's going on tomorrow.
All right.
Exciting.
We should all tune into that. Victor, thank you, man. Appreciate it. I couldn't remember if if you wanted to promote. I can't remember what we talked about last week, but
no, I don't really have anything to promote.
Well, I just wanted
He's just a good guy. That's all. Yeah, that's exactly. Victor.
Yeah. Victor is awesome. I just want to say thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
You can find me at about.me. No. Sorry. JasonHowell.net. YellowGoldMusic.com. About.me/JasonHowell is probably still there, but you don't need to go there. Yes. A reminder, we will be doing the Note 8 event tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. At twit.tv/live, Leo and myself. So join us there. And, you know, we'll talk about the Note news next week once we have that. Real quick note, we have the wiki here, the app wiki. All the apps that are mentioned on the show are kept there. It could use a little tender loving care. Every once in a while, we have to put out this call to see if anyone wants to help out. The challenge to keep it up to date, it's not easy necessarily. It just requires a regular check-in. If you'd like to do that, email AAA@twit.tv, and we'd appreciate it. If you want to see that list, it's twit.to/Android apps. But that's it for this week. Thanks, as always, for joining us for this show. We always have such a great time having you with us. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And you can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Casts, everywhere you find podcasts. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Woo-hoo. Goodbye, everybody.
Wow.